Random thought. Is this feud between Coach Prime and Coach Eddie Robinson Jr. good for HBCUs?
Yes. I think it's good. I can't say it's good for HBCUs across the board because not all HBCUs have football teams. My school still does not have a football team. But
is it even a school if it doesn't have a football team?
Yes, it's a school. Yeah. Shout out Houston Tillerson University. Go Rams. But I think what I like about this feud between them is we've not talked this much about Jackson State since Deion went there
as head
coaching. So that's great. And then I didn't know who Eddie Robinson was until Deion Sanders pissed him off and beat the bricks off of him at home.
And just to clear this up, because a lot of people, including Shannon Sharp, I heard him say it on Undisputed, and a lot of people have mistaken who Eddie Robinson Jr. is and think he's the son of Coach Eddie Robinson Sr., who was at Grambling State University for like 56 years. This is a different Eddie Robinson. Like his Eddie Robinson Sr. is a little different than Eddie Robinson Sr. from Grambling. So let's just get that together. There's no, they're not related, okay? They just happen to be named Robinson, Junior and Senior. Mm-hmm. But, you know, so this all stemmed from, and as you look back at the past of what happened with this, right? You think of last season, Alabama State, which is in Montgomery, Alabama, played Jackson State. And when they, was it last season or last time they played there at Alabama State? When they lost, Alabama State beat Jackson State and they put Coach Prime's picture up on the scoreboard, you know, from his draft day, you know, with the Jerry curls, the shades on and all the bling. And so this time around, Alabama State now schedules Jackson State at homecoming. Coach Prime, he's not wrong in what he said when he goes, look, y'all just did this because it's a money grab. You want the money of us showing up at your school for homecoming. Because traditionally, for homecoming, what you're telling that opponent on homecoming is, we got all our alumni here and we're going to beat the brakes off you. You're an easy win. And that's why I usually schedule the easy team. And he's like, oh, you think so? Well, I'm going to show you. We're not an easy win.
Yeah. And I don't blame that move. And I think predominantly white institutions would have done the exact same thing, you know? So it's not a race deal, and it's not bad for HBCUs. It's just competition.
Right.
You know, but you're bad that you let him and Jackson State come home to your homecoming and beat the bricks off you in front of all your alumni, and you looked bad. And then you try to make it a big deal, like, because he didn't come greet you and talk to you in the beginning. They got there a little late. He didn't have time to do all that before the beginning of the game. And probably he didn't want to because you embarrassed him when y'all beat them back at their school.
Okay. To Coach Eddie Robinson Jr.'s point, he was not the coach back then. So he's the new coach, right? But also, to your point, if you know each other and you're friends, yeah, you go and talk before the game. But I don't, correct me if I'm wrong here, but I don't think coaches just get up and start talking at the beginning of the game to each other because you're in battle mode. We're about to go into battle. This is what it is. There's been a lot of trash talking all week. There's only for us to talk before the game. We're going to shake hands after the game. We're going to move on, right? That's what it is. So, and I think part of it, he's saying like he walked through their lines. And now if Coach Prime did that, go through their lines, then that might have been a little bit disrespectful. But, you know, at the same time, it's, I think he's, what he did in going around the field, which is what I thought initially is what he did. He does that at every game. And that's just a player in him. Like, okay, I got to do this. Let's get this field. Let's get the lay of the land before the boys take the field and let's kick some ass. Right. The other part that Coach Eddie Robinson Jr. was a little upset about was the fact that at the end of the game, he put in the second and third stringers and was running plays instead of kneeling. Well, look, if I really wanted to embarrass you, I'd have left my son in there at quarterback and thrown another touchdown on your ass. It's the second and third string. They need some work, too. What kind of work are they going to get from taking a knee? None.
Right.
And you know what? We're putting on a show for you. You brought us in here for the money? We're going to put on a show for your alumni. Show them what a real football team is supposed to look like.
Well, and I don't like that, you know, hey, we're beating you bad. Let's just take a knee. I think you just keep beating people. And I think with the way the college rankings go, it's points and all that stuff. So if you're going to eventually elevate Jackson State's program, you got to teach these players that, hey, we're going to go in and score because you get those higher points. It helps your ranking. But again, you just feel bad because you got embarrassed and you're trying to nitpick all this little stuff to justify your tantrum. Now, to your other point about he wasn't the coach when they did that to Deion. Okay, great. You're a Notre Dame fan. Who's the one team that you hate Notre Dame to lose to? Who's that rival where you're like, we got to beat this team?
Man, every game for Notre Dame is a rival. But let's see, Michigan, USC.
All right, let's go Michigan. You hate to lose to Michigan. Now, let's say Michigan comes and beats the brakes off you at Notre Dame, and you're pissed. They rub your face in it. I become the next head coach of Michigan. And now you're coming to my school for homecoming to play my team. You're not going to be like, well, you know, Terrell wasn't there. He didn't piss me off. It's not his fault. It's that team.
Yep.
That team in blue in Michigan that I freaking hate. We're going to go beat the brakes off of them. And I don't care that Terrell's the coach there. After it's me and Terrell go have a steak and have some bourbon and laugh about it. But I'm going to beat the shit out of him and his team. That would be your mindset, right?
Yeah, because, you know, true, in the words of DJ Khaled, today's coach is not yesterday's coach. However, today's coach going to pay the price for yesterday's coach. You're going to pay for the sins of your previous coach, of your predecessor. You're going to pay for those sins. Y'all kicked our ass for 14 years. We're going to lay it on you this time. Whatever it is, it doesn't matter. You're right, because when it comes down to rivalry, when it comes down to sports, you know, all logic goes out the window. It doesn't matter whether you were there or not. That's why that rivalry continues over time, because it's the fans, right? And I think this rivalry is good because, first of all, when have we been talking about HBCU football this much? I mean... Unlike your HBCU, mine, Fayetteville State University, does have a football team, okay? We've won the CIAA a number of times. Now, granted, when I was in school, the football team was terrible. The band was great. I went back for homecoming the last time, and the football team was great, and the band was terrible. So, I mean, you know, whatever. I guess we can't have both at the same time. It's one or the other. But the point is, like, you know, you haven't had this much talk about, unless you're actually at the school or ingrained in the conference with the CIAA or SWAC, unless you're ingrained in it, you're not into those. You're not talking about the games that much, right? Even the CIAA basketball tournament, there are a lot of people who have no idea, who were going to Charlotte for years, and I think it's Baltimore now, have no idea what the CIAA even is. Didn't even know there was a basketball tournament because they went for the day parties, right? People were not interested in HBCUs as much as they are now. So, yes, to your point, it is a good thing. Even on TV. Are you kidding me?
Yeah. It's bringing money to the school. It's bringing, you know, better players, better talent are signing up for HBCUs now.
Yes.
You got more athletes that turn coaches are going back to HBCUs to coach. So, it's great. I think a lot of things that Deion is doing is setting the tone. And he has to keep it going, because if Deion was just like, you know what, forget this. I don't have to do this. I am set. I really don't have to do any of this. But if he's just like, you know what, I'm done. Forget about it. It's too annoying. All the effort that he's put in would go be all for naught.
Now, people are also questioning, is he going to stick around, or does he get a Power Five conference job offered? He's like, peace out. I'm gone. Thank you, Jackson State. And his job is done, because he shined a light there, but now he's moved on to a bigger thing. Or does he stay, regardless of the? I mean, again, he doesn't need the money, but when has that ever stopped anybody with money?
Yeah, but I think that's an interesting question, because if he were to leave, it would totally negate all the talk he did about why you should come and support HBCUs and we should come back and be coaches at HBCUs. It'll negate all that. And so then it's like, yeah, you're all about the money. And again, if you don't need it, it'd be one thing if, you know, you're just coming up and you do a great job at this school. Then all of a sudden, Power Five school reaches out and you get those $1 million contracts with the guaranteed money. Yeah, I get it. But it would just totally take out. It would set us back. All the effort that he put in, all the talk that he did, it would set us back. Us as in HBCUs. It would set HBCUs back.
And I see that, and I think for the greater good, and because he can, because he, again, doesn't need the money, he could stay and build a legacy there and actually you know, build some long-lasting legacy just on that. But I would be a little disappointed to not see the press conference when they say, Coach Prime, so why are you now going to Florida State as the new head coach? And he goes, must be the money. Sorry, I've been waiting this whole time to do that.
Prime time. Prime time.
Hey, welcome to the show. I'm Yachty Root.
And I'm Just Terrell. You ever been out somewhere and overheard two people having crazy conversations?
Yeah, like this one. Well, we are those people, and we've been having these conversations since college.
Yep, it's the Regular Guys Random Thoughts Podcast, episode 105. Be sure to like, subscribe, leave a comment, and definitely leave a review.
You know, your guy, we haven't talked about him in a while, but he's back in the news as we get into politics as usual. Old Theodore Roosevelt, what did he do this time?
So good old Ted Cruz retweeted something that was false. So pretty much it was this article, apparently from The Atlantic, right? It's called The Evolution of White Supremacy, with this subhead. In Dearborn, Michigan, Muslim parents who oppose teaching pornography to children become the new face of the far right. And he retweets this whole deal and then later deletes it because it wasn't true. And it wasn't true for multiple reasons. One, The Atlantic didn't produce that story or publish that mm-hmm. story. The author that was credited for writing that story hasn't worked for The Atlantic since 2014. So somebody put this together and just, so he just retweets it. So of course, people fact check him. They go all over Twitter and try to educate him on how wrong that he was. So they're waiting for him to like apologize or whatever. So finally he comes back. He comes back and says, didn't know it was fake. You guys are so insane. It could easily have been real. Problem right there.
Yes.
Could easily have been real. But it wasn't. And so I deleted the tweet as soon as I found out. And of course, everybody was giving him shit. And my favorite was this person that said, well, it's a good thing you don't have a job. We're having a critical eye towards sharing information. And whether something is real or fake could have an outsized impact on a group or, in this case, an individual if you aren't careful. I'm like, Ted Cruz, you're a freaking idiot. I just can't stand him. Vote him out.
Well, there are two things here. One, it's obvious he saw the headline, click retweet, kept moving, right? Never clicked the link. There's supposed to be a link. It didn't go anywhere. It went not to an article, obviously, because it wasn't there. I like Santiago Mayer's response, though. He says, you know, it's your fault. I'm an idiot. But also, Aaron Blake also pointed out some stuff. You know, Ted Cruz has a growing paper trail of Twitter misinformation. Like, and he has links to all these things with the Afghanistan helicopter mixing up Washington State with West Australia, National Guard on Martha's Vineyard, and the Ottawa protester who was supposedly trampled, right? So there are a number of things that Ted Cruz has done. And are we surprised by any of this? I mean, seriously. This guy has flip-flop and whatever it is that suits his narrative is what he goes with.
And that's the sad state of politics. It's not about the truth anymore.
Right.
It's just say whatever. And if you get a bunch of people that get rallied up and buy into it and believe it, great. Mm-hmm. And I do think that if you are a influencer, especially a political figure that has a whole lot of followers, you have to be careful about the shit that you share. I think one time, remember that whole story this years ago about McDonald's chicken nuggets made from this pink slime? Remember this article that it was just talking about this? And so it's not. And I was working at Whole Foods at this point. I'd probably been there maybe a year or so. So I finally drank the Kool-Aid and was into the healthy eating and learning about food. And I stopped eating McDonald's and all that stuff. And so when I saw that article, I shared it on Facebook. And I'm like, see, this is what I'm talking about. It's why you should got to watch what you put in your body and all that stuff. And then a guy that I worked with at Whole Foods, he commented. He's like, yeah, this is why I like to double check or fact check things before I post it. And he sent me the link to Snopes. And I look at it, I'm like, oh, crap. And ever since then, I do not forward articles unless I'm sure that this is true.
You know, here's the crazy thing about it. At this point, we've got so much information right in the palm of our hand. We can easily Google. You can go to Snopes. You can easy to find out whether it is true or not. And I look for the reputable sources, not just, you know, like I used to tell people when I did Black History Trivia on Z93, right? Which was, look, stay off Wikipedia. If that is a source of your information, your answer, you're going to probably be wrong. Find a fact check, check the facts, and then check again, right? You know, always. Because I think there was one that I had said to somebody before, and this wasn't, luckily, I didn't make the mistake like you and repost it, but the whole thing about the racist origin of the word picnic. And somebody's like, yeah, don't do that. Go look that up first. Don't tell anybody else that. I was like, I looked at him, I was like, oh, okay, you know what? You're right. And I think that was the moment I was like, stop listening to everybody else. And really, because you hear it and you just pass that information on. No. And you or on Twitter, like Ted Cruz did, you see it, it pops up in your feed. You know what? I agree. And if anything should have taught us this, it was the 2016 election. Don't do this.
Right. Double check. Fact check. You got to share stuff. But especially if you are a political figure, You might want to be one that double checks your stuff. And then when you get called out on it, don't get pissy.
Yes. Like,
you guys are insane. It could have been true. But it wasn't, so I deleted it.
I would say don't get your panties in a wad, but, you know, just to make sure that we don't tick anybody off, don't get your boxes in a wad. How about that?
Yeah, <fair. laughs> I see what you did there. but, yeah, no, and whether it's Ted Cruz or anyone else, it bothers me more because it's Ted Cruz and, you know, he represents my state. But, this is the reason why we should all vote him out. And Can't forget all these little things that he keeps doing.
Yeah.
But that's the problem with politics, man. And that's why people don't trust politicians, because they just say whatever bullshit, their followers believe it, and they run on.
Exactly. As we switch to For the Love of Sports, you know, last week we spoke of Bobby Wagner tackling the fan that ran on the field. Well, this week... I don't know what's going on here. NFL players just keep getting in this. I mean, and not just NFL players, because remember the whole thing with Draymond Green and Poole, who just got a new contract extension, like 5-year, $140 million. So I guess that punch was worth it. however, Davante Adams, Monday Night Football last week, right? Just lost the game to the Kansas City Chiefs. In really embarrassing fashion. He's heading to the sidelines. I mean, heading out of the game, heading to the tunnel to get out of the game. Cameraman happens to be walking by around the same time, walks in front of him. What does he do? Pushes him down. Now, I probably just did it a little harder than he probably did, but I mean, I'm also not an athlete like Davante Adams is, right? I'm not 6 feet plus, you know, pure muscle, 1.25% body fat, you know. So if Davante Adams had pushed me, I probably would have did what this guy did and rolled all the way down the hill, right? Well, now he's been charged with a misdemeanor assault, cited for an intentional overt act that inflicted bodily injury. Now, the man that he shoved suffered, according to this, whiplash, a headache, and a possible minor concussion.
Possible. Well, I feel like the cameraman pulled a soccer move.
Yes.
He got pushed. Oh! and just kind of really sold it. But this is the thing about athletes. And I totally understand. Davante Adams frustrated. You're in the moment. You just lost a game. Totally get all that. But you still got to be careful, because people out there will try to use whatever to get money and get a come up. To me, the cameraman, you got in a dude's way. You're bad. Take the L. You're fine. You've seen cameramen get hurt. I mean, I just don't buy that he's that hurt. You know, but now, is he going to use this as a way to try to sue, get some money out of it? That way he doesn't have to lug this camera around anymore. He can go do some other stuff. Maybe Sports Illustrated photo shoots. Do the fun camera work instead of being on the field.
Here's the crazy thing. I don't even think he was even the cameraman, because what he was carrying looked more like a boom mic, right? So yeah. He's just the guy carrying around a boom mic. But two points here. One, because you made a very good point about this is him trying to make a come up. Devontae was wrong. Let's just say this real quick. For pushing him the way he did. To be fair, that's nothing compared to when they're coming at full speed in the middle of a play to the guys on the sideline who can't move out of the way. And they're there getting the shot and they get run over, full pads, full speed, and they get blasted. And you're right here. And I hadn't thought about this. If this guy gets any money off of this, all those other players, all those other cameramen around the field are going to try to start suing for that as well, too. And you really can't because you're there. You know the dangers of the job. You're on the football field. Keep your head on the swivel. Right. What they tell you in the boxing ring? Protect yourself at all times.
Right. Right. Well, but it's a violent sport, you know, and so you got in the dude's face. He just lost. And I think this is a lot about, and correct me if I'm wrong, Devontae Adams, was he just trying to get the shot or was he just trying to pass by and accidentally got in his way?
I think he was just passing by. It didn't look like, again, because it's not like he was, again, I think he was carrying a metal object, which is probably the boom mic, right? I think he was just moving something. Either way, he was coming across, he came across Devontae Adams as he walked in front of, it was just timing. Had he been 2 seconds slower, he'd have walked behind Devontae. 2 seconds faster, he'd already been on the other side. And if Devontae pushed him, then he was 150% in the wrong. He's still 100% wrong here because he shouldn't have pushed him. Right. You're an athlete, and I know you're frustrated, but the person walks in front of you, like, say something like, mother, here's the part where I know where Devontae knows that he was really wrong. He didn't apologize till he was in the locker room. He apologized at a post-game conference, and he tweeted it. He didn't even look back after he threw this man on the ground. He didn't even flinch. He didn't blink. He didn't look to see, did this guy fall and break his neck? He didn't care. And I get it. He was in the moment, though.
Well, but do you think he really meant the apology? Was he like...
Oh, hell no.
Was his agent like, dude, did you see yourself? You need to clean this up. You better do an apology.
And I can tell... Here's how you know his PR didn't write it. I don't know if you see this, but if you do, I'm my bad. I didn't mean that. And that's just paraphrasing, but that's pretty much what he said.
To that buster that got in my way. Oops. Yeah. I didn't mean to do that.
Your punk ass hadn't been walking in front of me, I wouldn't have pushed your ass down. Next time, watch where you're walking, fool. And yeah, take this as an apology.
Yeah. Oh, and my bad.
My bad.
My bad. Oops. Oops. Was that you? My fault. Hopefully you see this.
And if you don't, well, we're on to the next game. So you got some stuff here that pulled in from at rgrtpod@gmail.com for this bullshit. What we got here?
Okay, so this is Megyn Kelly versus Tiffany Cross. So we all know who Megyn Kelly is.
It's a very attractive battle, I will say.
I'm surprised you called Megyn Kelly attractive. That's interesting. I didn't think you would.
Why? Because she's white?
Yeah. I didn't think you would.
Look, Megyn Kelly is an attractive woman. Her views, maybe not so much.
So Megyn Kelly calls MSNBC host Tiffany Cross a dumbass for blaming NFL injuries on racism. So if we go back to Tua in Miami when he had the whole concussion protocol deal and all that, so he's hurt. Tiffany Cross, who has her own show, I think it's called The Cross Connection.
Right.
She brings Michael Smith onto the show to talk about, you know, concussion protocol and all those different things. And then she does the biggest reach I've seen in a while. Because she claimed that there's a disregard for black lives in the sports league. And, quote, to see all these black men crashing into each other with a bunch of white owners, white coaches, and the complete disregard for black bodies and black life, I mean, it just represents a larger issue. And I was just like, are you shitting me right now, Tiffany Cross? So Megyn Kelly on her podcast, which I don't always agree with Megyn Kelly, but in this case I do, Megyn Kelly calls, she's talking about this situation, and she calls Cross stunningly racist. She said, he's not black. Hello, which Tua's not. He's Samoan.
He is Samoan.
And she goes, you dumbass, Tiffany Cross. She's the most racist person on television. It's amazing. Maybe she just doesn't see color. Anyway, he's not black, but according to her, he is. And she goes, oh, and by the way, his coach isn't white either.
Okay, that sounds like a couple things here. Let's start with the last part about his coach is not white either. Poor Mike McDaniel never had to talk about race before until he got hired as the coach of the, like people said, this man has been living his great white life all this time, and then all of a sudden he gets hired as the head coach of the Miami Dolphins, and now you go digging up his background, and now he's got to identify as something which he never had to do before.
True, which we talked about that on previous podcasts, about this situation, but it is what it is. Whether he considers himself black, person of color, does he check multiple boxes? Who knows? I got to see what his food tastes like. You know, that'll let me know what I think.
And people have tried this whole race part of it as, you know, well, we're trading players like the slave trade. And it's like, that's not a good analogy. And it's never
a terrible analogy because the slave trade, they didn't have a choice. No slaves at this plantation going, you know what? This is my last year at this motherfucker.
I'm going to retire after this.
As soon as my contract is up here, I'm going to go onto the block and see if I can find someplace else to finish out the rest of my season, the rest of my career. You know, they didn't have a choice.
Right. They couldn't retire and be like, you know what? I'm done playing this game. I'm done plowing the field. I'm good. I'm just going to live out the rest of my days. I think I may go in the booth and I'll broadcast this whole the next cotton picking championships. You know, no, they didn't get a chance to do that.
No, there was no choice. So you can't compare the trade of players to the slave trade ever.
Now, here's where I disagree with Megyn Kelly. To call Tiffany Cross the most racist person on TV. Megan, you worked at Fox News. I get it. You're not there anymore. But you are sharing screen time with some of the most racist people on television. How dare you? Tucker Carlson still works over there. You can't call her the most racist person. Are you kidding me?
Keep in mind, Megyn Kelly's also the one that said, Santa Claus is not black. He's white.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Well, you know, because those kids are just going to be so mad if they realize Santa got a tan in the offseason.
Yeah. Wait a minute. Who gave me this PlayStation? A black Santa? No. No.
Mama, take this back. I do not want this PlayStation 5.
Is this why it doesn't work?
Is this why I got it on the 27th?
The black Santa bring you the Nintendo 64.
Sega Genesis.
Yeah. Well, you got to blow into the games. Oh, be wrong for that one.
Oh, no, you are. Next bullshit story, because Jesus Christ. I guess she thinks he's also white, but go ahead.
Well, this one came in rgrtpod@gmail. Colorado woman tied up Tinder date, then stabbed, choked, and threatened to kill him.
Oh, Jesus.
Police say. Yes, so... and it's funny, when you look at the girl, you're just like, I wonder what her Tinder profile looked like, because this mugshot...
Well, the mugshot's not doctored and doesn't have filters and all that stuff, you know, so...
Well, quite true, but still, I'm just like, you know, she looks like she's been watching a whole lot of the Dahmer episodes on Netflix and was taking notes. So, she's 22. You know how these things go. You meet someone on Tinder... And invites this guy over to her apartment.
Mm.
Now, guy shows up. I guess they're talking. And then she tells him that she wants to, like, tie him up and all that stuff. And so he, first, according to him, felt a little bit uncomfortable. But then I went ahead and went with it, which I'm like, who does that? So then he's naked, ties him up. And then she pulls out a knife. And starts, like, poking him with it. And now that now he doesn't want to play anymore. But she's like, nope, it's too late. So she continues to just kind of cut him, play with the knife bit. and then chokes him. And just as he starts to like fade out, she like stops to see, you know, if he's good. And then he comes back. Then she gets a belt, chokes him more.
Jesus.
Then she door dashes food.
Yeah, because she got hungry. I mean, that was a lot of effort.
I mean, you know, have you ever choked somebody before? It wears you out.
Yeah.
Wears you out. You gotta fuel up. So
she gotta add some sustenance.
And then he's able to somehow get away. He's outside the apartment running, naked, and still tied up. And is able to call the police from someone else's phone. They go back to the house. They catch her. She's arrested. And I'm looking at the story, and I'm like, there's a whole lot of weird things that happened here.
Yeah.
A, who goes to someone's house that you met on Tinder? No other date, no other meetup. First time you're going to meet, you're going to go to their house. Anyone who does that, it's crazy.
Really? I mean, think about it. Back in the day, before the dating apps, how quickly would you go to someone else's house?
Back in the day, it's totally different than
as soon as possible, right?
Today. Back in the day, it's totally different.
How?
Because how would you meet them back in the day? And if I met you out and about, we met in person, and then you're like, hey, why don't you come over? Yeah, I met you in the club. I've seen you in person.
Would you not go back to a house that night?
Yes, but we met in person.
So?
It was never like, because if on the internet, on the app, you could think you're talking to a 22-year-old girl, and it could be a 45-year-old man waiting behind the door. And you come open the door, hey, I'm here. And then, oop. And now you're jacked. I met you in the club. I know what you look like. We got a chance to talk. We had some banter. We had some drinks. We danced a little makeout sesh. You invite me back to the house. That makes sense. On a dating app, you have not talked to this person. You're just going to show up at their house? Crazy.
See, I don't
what makes it crazy.
Yeah,
you've
okay,
not
I don't
done
do
the dating app, so you don't really...
Yeah.
You're trying to look at this through,
okay,
you know,
that's
old ways of dating, where you meet people publicly, get to know them, and then they invite you to their house. You're like, yeah, I got time to kill.
Yeah.
That's totally different than, I've never met you. We haven't talked, you know, maybe they didn't talk on the phone. Maybe they didn't video chat. But you don't know what you're walking into in those situations. That's what makes it crazy. And then once you're in the place, she's not like, it ain't like she's this huge woman. How did she get you to take your clothes off and tie you up?
Well, she got him to take his clothes off. How she got him to take his clothes off is easy. Men are stupid enough to do that, right? The tying up part, the minute you felt uncomfortable doing it, and she probably went, oh, you're a little bitch. And you're like, okay, I'll
got
let
him.
You
no.
Got him. Like, yo, no, do not let somebody question your manhood to put you in a compromising position like this. That's the crazy part of this. It's like, yo, it's like, yo, what are you, a little bitch? Yes, I am. Today I am. You know why? Because I'm never going to see you again. Because it's Tinder. What are you doing?
Even if it wasn't Tinder, if I met a girl at the library and we had coffee and all that, and she invites me back to her place, and then we start getting hot and heavy. She's like, I want to tie you up. I'm like, we're not there yet. Yeah, I got to get to know you a little bit. Maybe third or fourth time, I'll let you tie me up. But first time, first go around, we just met? No. You're not tying me up at all.
Well, yeah. Well, you know, that's what happens when you try to get a little extra freaky. She taught that good stuff. You know how she got him naked. You know how she got him to allow her to tie him. You know, you just don't know what I'll be able to do to you. And she wasn't lying. The things I'll do to you, it's going to make you squirm. You'll never felt like this before. She wasn't lying.
Do you like that? Are you ready for some fun?
Here, let me go get one of, I'm going to get, once I tie you up, I'll get one of my toys. He's thinking something else.
Yeah.
You know.
She comes in with a blade.
Feather. Yes. He's
thinking
feather.
She comes
in with a blade.
She comes
up with a knife.
Like, But that's just a dangerous situation. That could have went, who knows how that could have ended if he didn't get out.
Yeah.
And I wonder how he got out. And what is her name? That, I mean, imagine walking out of an apartment. You're about to go to the grocery store. All of a sudden see somebody tied up naked, running, screaming for help. You're like, what in the hell is going on here? I got to move.
What in the Jeffrey Dahmer? I'm going to tell you something. I started watching that Jeffrey Dahmer series. I didn't even get through the first episode, right? Because... And to go back to your point of meeting somebody in the club, because they met him in the club, seen him a couple times, bought a couple of drinks, you're stupid enough to go back to this place, you walk in, the place smells funky, get out.
Yeah, there's no way I would sit there and be cool with that. Now, here's the crazy thing about the whole Dahmer thing. I watched, before I started watching it, I watched the live deal of the witness that was in Milwaukee that wound up escaping. Mm-hmm. Listen to him tell the story. And the attorney asked him, hey, are you homosexual? He said no. Now, I'm betting he probably didn't want to be outed mm-hmm. at that point, right? But I thought that was odd, that you're at a bar and the stranger invites you back to his house to take pictures for $100. Just some nude modeling pictures for $100. $100? That's it?
You got to think what time this was, though. This was, $100 was a lot more than it is now.
In the 90s? This isn't like 1919. This was in the 90s. $100 for me to go to a stranger's house and take some naked pictures of me mm-hmm. for $100. No. And then to your point, you walk in and it smells weird. Yeah, I'm out.
Yeah. There's absolutely no way. And this is why I have not finished watching this thing. I haven't even made it through the first episode. I'm like, eh. And you feel for the lady next door, cause hearing all the stuff, smelling that stuff, and like, yeah, nah. Yeah.
She's been calling the police, complaining. I'm almost done with it. And that's why I feel bad for her. I mean, I feel bad for all the victims, obviously. But she was like, I've been trying to tell y'all
yeah.
that this dude's a mess and there's problems. But no one wanted to listen.
I would say we do a review on it, but I can't. I can't watch it. I'm good.
No, I don't blame you. I don't want to do a review of that one. But, you know, watching after reading this story and this Colorado woman, I'm like, God, it's 2022 and you still got people this stupid.
Yeah. Well, hopefully after seeing this Dahmer thing, because apparently a lot of people have seen it, people won't be this stupid and stop just going over to people's house just like that. Nope. And for everybody who are messing up your game by saying that, I'm sorry, but, you know, we got to build some trust first.
Stop inviting strangers to your house, guys.
Yeah, because them women will set your ass up, too. Next thing you know, it's not just her coming.
It's like, wait a minute, what's that back there? Don't worry about that.
Oh, man. Hey, don't forget, we are back on Thursday for another Married at First Sight Season 15 San Diego recap, as we are not yet at decision day. We've still got a whole another week to go as they stretch these last few days out.
Unfortunately, but almost done.
Yep. And coming up, as a matter of fact, it'll be next week. Next Saturday, we'll start our review of Love is Blind Season 3. We're going to do 4 installments of it. The first one for episodes 1 through 4. The next one's for episodes 5 through 7. And then the third one would be for the final episodes. And then we'll do one for the reunion.
Reunion.
So there'll be 4 to come on that. And looking forward to that. See how does it go? Because the last season was kind of interesting and just kind of, even down to the last couple, they didn't make it. Well, one couple's still married, right?
I don't remember. I don't remember because I know
the black couple broke
a lot
up.
Of them got divorced.
Yeah.
Yeah. The black couple broke up. But I think the other couple too. Remember the girl that was dancing on the table?
Yeah.
I think they divorced too. Yeah. I think
oh,
so.
Oh, really? I thought they were still together. Oh, well. Hmm.
Yeah. I think they broke up too.
Look, apparently we need to do some research before we start watching season 3.
Yeah. Yeah.
Hey, I'm Yanni Root.
And I'm Just Terrell.
Make sure you follow us at Yanni Rude, at Just Terrell, and at RGRT Pod.
Yep. Send us some of your random thoughts, some of the bullshit you find on the internet, and we'll talk about it on the show.
It's the Regular Guys Random Thoughts Podcast. Cheers.
Cheers.